Today's scripture is taken from Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 15. Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 15. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there, named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased their numbers daily. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the woman who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of God.
Good morning, and welcome once again to Great Commission Community Church, especially if you're here for the first, second, or third time. We welcome you back, and it is our delight and honor to have you with us this morning. Church, shall we go in prayer right away in response to the video that we have just seen and the request on behalf of the Connors to pray for the red tape that they are that still is before them with the legal system and other matters. Pray for health, safety, and a fast and smooth transition back to Virginia. And let's also pray for the subsequent weeks and months that are necessary for a good attachment period and adjustment period. So let's pray over the Connors right now, and just all of us, just where you are, in your hearts, just lift them up. Pray for them in one voice in your hearts, and I'll close us and I'll begin our message with a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you. Bless you. Our Father, we come to you this morning praying in faith, trusting in your promises, believing that you are good. You're a God who completes what you've started. You're the one who not just gives us a calling, but you enable us to fill it out. And we thank you for Philip and Candace and their kids. And right now, Lord God, may they sense your presence, your nearness. And may they see the evidence of your favor and your grace and your face shining upon them. And we do ask for this upcoming week to be a week of great news, of breakthroughs, of things accelerating much faster than they even anticipated or prayed. And we pray that you would return them back to home here soon, quickly, safely. But also we pray for the months ahead. We pray that we as a church would not just pray, but we'd be part of the answers to that prayer. Because they need community. They need ongoing support. And Lord, it is our privilege to do so. Would you give us that sensitivity and that willingness and that joy in coming alongside the Connors? We just pray that they would continue, Lord God, to be what they are already to us, just examples and models of faith. Men and women who love you and have laid everything down for you and how you respond to that because of your kindness. We love you, Lord. Now would you meet us? Be faithful as you've been so many times in meeting us through your word. May every heart, ear, and mind be responsive and sensitive to your Spirit's voice this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I go into my message, I do want to underscore a couple of reminders for the small group registration process begins this evening. You'll see there's two types of discipleship groups, men and women, and they're more focused on personal formation, peer mentorship and accountability, and the goal of those groups, which I have the privilege of leading one of them, is to enable and equip others in the group to coach, mentor, and disciple others. So if that is of interest to you, please consider that. Please also, when you consider which group to sign up, please consider these factors. Where will you be the most committed? Where will you sense there's a calling, not just to that group, but to that neighborhood? And also, where will you be able to contribute the most? Not just be a consumer, but a contributor to that needs. Maybe you feel called to support the hosts and the leaders that are on that list. Please don't base it on comfort or convenience, because we know that we don't grow based on comfort or convenience. And we want those groups to be catalysts, as has been prayed, for spiritual growth and deeper relationships. So please keep that in mind. And lastly, when you register, please have a top three list, because groups will fill up fast. So have a top three list. Rank them on your own. But when you register, you may not be able to get into that group. So have a second and a third choice, because that second and third choice may actually be God's number one choice for you. And hopefully we'll see that in this morning's message as well. Speaking of small groups, it was just a few months ago. We started our small group gathering at Navy Yard with this question. Where were you 5 years ago today? Where were you? And I want some of you to even think of that. You don't have to answer that, but where were you 5 years ago, August 2009, where were you? And the answers in our group, it really typified a DC small group, so to speak, in that it just ran the spectrum of life stages. It ranged from, I just graduated college. I just graduated high school, excuse me. Yeah, and then there's those who just finished residency or defending a dissertation or in law school or for Alice and myself, we were in a different church at that time, even though we were in the same area. It was amazing. As I heard those stories, the common thread was this, that there a lot of people were in places not probably in this area. They probably weren't in the DMV area. And they probably didn't anticipate being where they were in their life at that day. They weren't sure of where they would be living. They didn't know of their current position. They had no idea the school or program that they were going to be in currently at that time. They didn't know the person that they would be dating or engaged or married to. They didn't know the number of gray hairs or white hairs that had accumulated over such a short period of time. No one in that group, probably including myself especially, knew that we would be 5 years later, August 2014, attending a worship service at Doubletree in Crystal City. For many of us here today, as you thought back to where you were 5 years ago, You wouldn't necessarily have preferred maybe the present circumstances, challenges, and the context that you are in this morning. If you were to be completely honest, there are major areas of your life and mine that look very different than we had actually hoped, dreamed, prayed, or planned for. Possibly some of us are thinking that we are living a plan B instead of a plan A. However, brothers and sisters, Christ followers, beloved children of God, I'm here to remind you that as Christians, we fundamentally believe that our life is not the sum of poor decisions, missed opportunities, or broken promises or dreams. Our faith is built upon the foundational belief that our life does not belong to us, but to God, because we are rescued, redeemed by His Son's precious blood. So let me ask you this morning, how can we be assured and confident that God is still working in, around, and through our lives, even when the current landscape of our lives lead us to believe a different conclusion? What does our passage this morning teach or remind us about how God operates in sovereignly orchestrating circumstances and personally guiding our decisions that we make or often are made for us? Maybe some of us are still facing this morning. Here's the main idea or the summary statement of my message. Here it is. As the Spirit of God leads, the kingdom of God will expand. As we're studying the book of Oz, the book of Acts, I think that's a great summary of the book of Acts. As the Spirit of God leads, that's when the kingdom of God expands. This morning's passage from Acts 16, we actually find Paul absent of Barnabas because in the passage prior, at the end of chapter 15, there is an irreconcilable disagreement and difference between the two, and they part ways. How heartbreaking. It was hard to see this tandem, this duo for Jesus, for the kingdom of God, having to part ways. And some, if you ended at Acts chapter 15, you might say, you know what? Things are starting to go off the rails. I'm sure Paul is now wringing his hands, wondering, what am I going to do? I lost my partner in ministry. We were so fruitful. We were so successful in what God has called us to do. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to remind you, as I believe the book of Acts reminds us, please don't miss this. The book of Acts is not about Paul. The book of Acts is about the Holy Spirit. One commentator said the book of Acts shouldn't be called the Acts of the Apostles, as is often listed in our Bibles. It should be more accurately described as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is mentioned 50 times in this book, more than any other book in the New Testament. As the Spirit of God leads our lives, the kingdom of God will expand. Living and building the kingdom of God ultimately rests upon following the Spirit of God. And there are four indicators, I believe, from this passage this morning that the Spirit of God is at work in your life and mine, around you and through your life and mine, even though the landscape and our situation, circumstances and our challenges may say otherwise. The Spirit of God is working, and there are four indicators, I believe, that we can take with us and into our lives. The first one is this: disappointment leads to divine appointments. Disappointment leads to divine appointments. Again, Paul incurs a major blow in his ministry. I'm sure it was a major blow personally. You see, Barnabas wasn't just a colleague in ministry. Barnabas was the brother who went to bat for Paul. When nobody gave Paul any credit, any legitimacy, Barnabas stood in the gap and he said, "I vouch for Paul." And ever since then, Paul's ministry exploded. It was a person he was indebted to. It was a mentor of his. Can you imagine your mentor and you who have started a venture together, that there was a sharp disagreement, as the scriptures say, and you guys part ways? It was a major blow to his ministry, and I believe even to him personally, emotionally, mentally. He parts ways with his beloved partner Barnabas, ministry partner Barnabas. However, brothers and sisters, this is the good news once again. Look with me in verse 1 of chapter 16. Paul also came to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him. There was a disappointment. There was a major setback. There was something that seemed like a train wreck in his life and in his ministry. And yet, the Spirit of God would not let that circumstance derail what God intended to accomplish through Paul and the advancement of the gospel through his ministry. He provided another partner, another co-laborer in the gospel. Brothers and sisters, even when we are faced with setbacks in life, in our work, in our relationships, and even in our ministries, it's often God who is setting us up. A setback is actually set up to depend on him greater and trust in him deeper. Because he wants to show who he is and how he provides and how he pulls through like no one else on the earth. Disappointments lead to divine appointments. And that's what Paul has. He has a divine appointment of Timothy. Someone, as some commentators say, might have actually been saved and raised through Paul's ministry during his first missionary journey. He actually becomes a mentor to Timothy and brings him along, and they partner together in spreading the good news. When we trust in God's timing and his faithful provision, we can be more certain of a spirit-led result and God glorifying fruit. Look with me in verse 5, how God's divine appointment and provision, what it led up to. Look with me in verse 5, it says, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and they increased in numbers daily. The kingdom didn't miss a beat. Some of you are saying, man, my life is such a mess. So many things uncertain, so many things up in the air. Not in God's eyes. Oh, I'm now figuring out my plan B, my plan C, get my contingencies in order, not in God's eyes. Often we know the Spirit's working because when we recognize that in his time, with his faithful provision, it will be a divine appointment that's awaiting us, especially after disappointments in life. What circumstance or who can you genuinely thank God for that wouldn't be evident or present in your life if it wasn't for unforeseen disappointments, detours, and delays? I invite you, friends, genuinely and sincerely, would you thank God and bless him for those disappointments, detours, and delays? Because they have shaped your character, your conviction, and maybe even your calling in life, and have led you to certain places, people, and perspectives in life that you might not otherwise have. Because when you do genuinely, sincerely thank him for those disappointments in faith, what you're doing is this: you're surrendering to and pointing others to God's sovereign and loving presence and purpose in your life. That is an act of the Holy Spirit. That is evidence of the Spirit working in you. As the Spirit of God leads, the kingdom of God will expand. The first indicator that the Spirit is at work within, around, and through you is disappointments lead to divine appointments. And secondly, closed doors fail to derail our resolve. Closed doors fail to derail our resolve. Now, Paul has this new team. He's ready to go. But look what happens. Paul's ready to take the gospel deeper into Asia on his second missionary journey. And look what happens in verse 6. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Verse 7, and when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. Paul's ready. He's got his new team in place. And he's ready to go northward, to go deeper into Asia, to share the gospel. But it says the Spirit wouldn't permit him. They try to go westward, but even there they were forbidden by the Spirit of Jesus. See, they were intercepted by divine intervention. Doors were closing left and right. And who was doing this? Who was behind this? Brothers and sisters, the Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit in verse 6, the Spirit of Jesus in verse 7. So there is no mystery. There can be no mistake that the doors that are closed many times in your life and mine are not closed by someone else or your circumstance or even by you. But they're closed by the Spirit. They're closed by the Spirit. The Spirit says no. You know, I often, when counseling in pastoral settings, something that comes often, and I appreciate the honesty because I'm there too. I struggle with this as well, is when there's a lot of unanswered prayers. Any of you feel like your life is just littered with unanswered prayers? To the point where some of you, I think a lot of people don't pray because they have so many unanswered prayers in the, so to speak, outbox of their life. There's not very little things in the inbox they've given up. It's not even a matter of discipline or desire. I think some of us are just so discouraged. What I often try to ask is this. Okay, I respect it. I'm sure there's a lot of hard, heartfelt, difficult, painful, unanswered prayers. But I tried to guide the conversation and ask them this. How many things do you have in your life that you didn't even ask for? And if we get to start to list those things that you never prayed for, it was never in your outbox to Jesus, but you have been the recipient of, it changes their perspective a little bit. Instead of focusing on what's not been answered, they focus hopefully also on what has been answered that they never asked. That is the God whom we pray to. That is the God who sometimes closes doors because in doing so, it is Him revealing that there is someone somewhere else or someone else to turn to instead of ourselves and even our prayers. And you see, this closed doors for Paul, it wasn't a reason to give up. Some of you maybe this morning, maybe one of you this morning, you're ready to give up on your faith, your relationship with God, even though God has given, has made it abundantly clear, and hopefully this morning is reminding you He hasn't given up on you. And that's why Paul and his companions, they didn't just pack up, close shop, and return to Jerusalem or to the church back in Antioch in Syria where they had originated from. No, they just kept on going. What happens? They go on to Troas, it says in verse 8. Troas. And of course, I don't know where Troas is. I don't have a map of Asia Minor back in the early, in ancient Near East history. Troas, from where they were turned away, it was a 400-mile journey towards the Aegean coast. They knew they couldn't go this way. They knew they couldn't go this way, so they had to go northwest towards the coastline, which was, without them realizing it, closer to Europe, where we see that they eventually make it over to. You see, closed doors didn't derail their resolve. Brothers and sisters, and if some of you are saying, I've had a lot of closed doors, but I'm here. Jesus, I have a lot of closed doors, a lot of stuff in my outbox, but I'm here. Jesus, I'm still with you, even though there's very little evidence empirically why I should be in my life. I say to you, that's the Spirit of God working in you. You can't take credit, and I know you don't. Neither can I. That is just the evidence of the Spirit of God still working in, around, and through you. When you're not going to give up, even though every part of your fiber says, I want to give up. May that be in a reassurance, a reminder, and a comfort that God hasn't given up. And His Spirit is enabling and empowering you to take it one day, one decision at a time. You see, that 400-mile journey from where they were turned away down to Troas, it doesn't list in this passage anywhere that they stopped in different villages or cities to preach the gospel, to plant churches, to make the most of their time. They just kept plugging away towards the city. You see, brothers and sisters, why they had such resolve and they weren't easily derailed by discouragement and closed doors is this. Paul and his team were more concerned and focused on faithfulness than fruitfulness. Brothers and sisters at Great Commission Community Church, in your spiritual life, in your work life, in your relational life, in all the spheres that God has placed you in, God is more concerned about your faithfulness than your fruitfulness. Because if it's focused on faithfulness, then it doesn't affect the resolve and the commitment to following the Spirit, even when we don't know where He is taking us. I got this article from Elder Andy. Andy sent this to me a couple months ago. It was a New York Times article talking about the San Antonio Spurs who won the NBA championship. I didn't know this, but I found this to be a fascinating thing. And I asked Andy, could you send me the link to this article? In the corner of the Spurs locker room, there's a framed quotation from the social reformer Jacob Riis. And this is the quotation that they have hanging in their locker room. When nothing seems to help, I go back and look at the stonecutter hammering away at his rock, perhaps 100 times without as much as a crack showing in it. Yet, at the 101st blow, it will split in two. And I know it was not that blow that did it, but all that had gone before. It's not focusing on the end result or just the fruit. It's on the faithfulness that we display and demonstrate in just loving trust of Jesus. Even though we don't have the fruit or we don't have the goods to show that He's necessarily working in our lives or through our lives, but saying, I believed,
when I am faithful because he is faithful, because he's called me to be faithful, more than even fruitful, that in his time, he will get the glory by bearing the fruit in his way. It's not letting a closed door derailing your resolve in following and trusting him no matter where you are going. Have you been paralyzed by the disappointments and the closed doors in your life, the no's? Brothers and sisters, I believe we can redeem them, those disappointments and closed doors, by humbly sharing with others what you have gone through and are still going through, and the role that your faith in Christ and the body of Christ has played in your life in this season of life. Potentially, as you share your story, as you share your brokenness, your broken dreams, your shattered hopes, and yet the resolve that still remains because Jesus lives within you, may it give someone else the courage and the hope to face their troubles, their trials and tribulations in hope as well. I'll give you a very practical example. Some of you, and I mentioned this earlier in my message, will not get into the small group that you want to get into. Closed door. Sorry, it is full. I just pray and I believe the Spirit of God, hopefully, maybe the timing of this message is such that you'll say, okay, Pastor Sam, you know, the only thing I remember from his sermon is have a top three list, okay, of small groups. I have number two. Let's see. Oh, did it close? Number three. Oh, huh. That was my plan C, but that may be God's plan A. Brothers and sisters, let's not limit God to our plan A's. Maybe our plan B, so to speak, has been God's plan A all along. And the Spirit of God, I believe, will give you the strength and the joy and the perseverance as you lean into him and trust deeply in his word and what the gospel says about us. As the Spirit of God leads, the kingdom of God will expand. The four indicators, once again, number one is disappointments lead to divine appointments. Closed doors fail to derail our resolve. And thirdly, a vision is followed. Vision is followed by trusting obedience. Vision is followed by trusting obedience. While they are in Troas, Paul received a supernatural revelation in a dream and in a vision, which is not common in his life or in his ministry from what we read in the scriptures. But it makes a significant impact on the future trajectory of his life and ministry. In verses 9 through 10, look with me there. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Paul was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. How? Why was he so sensitive? Why was he able to respond so with such immediacy and trust and obedience? I believe this, brothers and sisters, because he faced a lot of no's. He faced a lot of closed doors and disappointments. I believe our disappointments and our setbacks can serve us greatly because they make us actually more sensitive to the Spirit of God so we can respond and act with greater trust and immediacy. And note with me what happens in verse 10. His team respond immediately with trusting obedience. And Paul had seen the vision, and immediately Luke is now entered into this narrative. Some say maybe because there's a medical need that he joined the team. We don't know for sure. But Luke now, instead of writing about the Acts of the Apostles or the Acts of the Holy Spirit, he is now participating in it. We sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Are you open to God speaking to you in dreams and visions through someone else? Through your circumstances, through the very word of God, maybe in a preaching moment, in an accountability moment, in a prayer moment, in your time alone with him. And the question is this, is God speaking? And I believe he is. And he has spoken. The question is, are we trusting and obeying? A lot of people have stalled spiritually. It's not because they haven't heard the Lord, but they don't like what they've heard. The Spirit of God, as we submit to him and are sensitive to him and surrender to him, he will enable us to do which is unnatural for us, which is to trust and obey him. Even when, again, we have all the reasons not to. I love this story a number of years ago I took a seminary class back in New Jersey during an interim period as I was preparing to go into seminary in Chicago, just taking a Greek class. And I attended the chapel at this seminary in Jersey. It's on Rutgers campus called New Brunswick Theological Seminary. And I just sat in on this camp, on this chapel, because there was a special presentation being done, a very historical moment, or a historical figure was being celebrated. His name is Horace G. Underwood. Horace G. Underwood was the first Presbyterian missionary into South Korea in 1885, and he had studied at New Brunswick Theological Seminary. And one of Mr. Underwood's descendants was actually there to receive some kind of honor or a plaque to celebrate the ministry of Horace G. Underwood. You see, Horace G. Underwood, whom I'd never heard of, and most of us have never heard his name, he started hospitals in Korea. He was considered the father of modern education. He was the founder of Yonsei University. How did he end up in South Korea? I read a little blurb on his testimony. He actually was called primarily to India. It seemed like a lot of resources and attention was given to the needs in India. And he had submitted an application to a mission board, and they accepted his application to serve in India. And he was going to take the letter literally to the mailbox and say he was going to accept this call to India. But he heard this voice, it says in his testimony. And the voice had only four words. The words were only four words. No one for Korea. No one for Korea. Because up to that point, the Hermit Kingdom was very closed. People didn't want to go there or afraid to go there. And he didn't drop that letter in the mail and turned all of his attention and his resources to going to South Korea. And there's just tremendous spiritual fruit as a result of his trusting obedience to what God had laid on his heart. What has God been laying on your heart? Who has God been laying on your heart? What nation, what vocation has he been laying on your heart? I pray that you will say, God, I can't do this on my own. That's good. That's where he wants you to be. And say, Holy Spirit, would you enable me, empower me, give me the faith and the courage to follow this vision, this calling on my life with trusting obedience. Just as Jesus was always focused on Jerusalem throughout his ministry, may I have that laser-like focus. And that trusting obedience in God, knowing what he's doing when he's called me somewhere to accomplish his purposes and plans so that he would get the glory. As the Spirit of God leads, the kingdom of God will expand. Disappointments lead to divine appointments. Closed doors fail to derail our resolve. Vision is followed by trusting obedience. And lastly, ministry happens in the least likely places. That's how we know Spirit's working in and around us, when ministry happens when we least expect it, in the most least likely of places. Upon arriving in Macedonia, the mission team head to Philippi and they seek to share the gospel there. Look with me in verses 11 through 12. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace and the following day to Neapolis. And there, from there to Philippi, which is a leading city in the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony. We remained in the city some days. Paul does something that we don't normally see him do. He breaks from his traditional method of evangelism and he heads outside the city. He usually went straight, made a beeline to the synagogues, and he would seek to preach the gospel in those public settings. But he goes outside the city about a mile to a river. In verse 13, it says, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. Why did he have to go outside the city? Because they needed 10 Jewish men, according to Jewish custom, to form a quorum that would make a formal synagogue. But there wasn't even 10 Jewish men in Philippi. Therefore, the Jews who were there, who were God-fearing, had to find another place to worship. And so they went outside the city walls. And that's where Paul went. He went to find the God-fearing Jews. And there, dependent on the Spirit and with the boldness that only the Spirit gives, he preached the gospel to a group of women that he didn't know. But because of that, the gospel emerged on a brand new continent. Actually, the first European in the Bible is then converted, and her name is Lydia. Look with me in verse 14. One who has heard us was a woman, named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. There it is, friends. The European church started outside of a city, along a river, among a group of women, with a woman named Lydia. And I think the key in this whole passage, I believe, is this. It's at the end of verse 14. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Brothers and sisters, it wasn't Paul's preaching. It was the Lord's preparation. Let me say that again. It's not our preaching. It's the Lord's preparation. And that spiritual reality of God preparing hearts, even before we share the gospel with them, brothers and sisters, should give us great courage and even greater humility if and when they respond. It's not about us. It's never been about us. It's about God revealing himself to us and through us so that he would be glorified among the nations. That's what this church is about. That's what the Acts church is about. That's what we should be about as Christians. But it's because we trust that God is working, just as he's working, his Spirit's working on our hearts, that we don't know. It's not our job to know, but God's Spirit is working in the hearts of those around you as well, in your children, in your spouse, in your neighbors, amongst your coworkers, your colleagues, your classmates, your clients, your patients. He is working. It is about the Spirit preparing hearts even before we share. And because of this first European that was converted in the Bible, her name Lydia. Consequently, the first European church was launched and founded, the Philippian church. We have a book written by Paul to the Philippian church. In verse 15, it says, after she was baptized, look there with me, her household. Commentators say it's because either she was a widow and she had children, and or she also had household servants. She urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed on us. That's what I love about Acts. Brothers and sisters, don't miss this. Ministry didn't happen in a synagogue in this story. Didn't happen among religious leaders or religious folk. It happened outside the city among a group of women who might have been marginalized or overlooked. They were definitely in the minority if there's only a handful of Jewish people in the city of Philippi. That's where ministry happens. And, brothers and sisters, it happens in her home. Don't relegate God to working on a Sunday morning only. He does, but not only here. And that's what I love about our church. You know, my parents are here visiting from New Jersey. And we drove all the way from Loudoun County to come here. And I'm sure we passed a lot of churches, a lot of buildings, a lot of beautiful plots of land. And we got onto 66, and then we got off on the 110 towards the Pentagon. I'm sure they were wondering, where are we going? I thought we were going to church. Then we pull off, okay, at the first exit off on Route 1, and then we make this weird turn, okay, to Army-Navy Drive here, and we just pull over to the side of the road, and I get out and say, we're here. And they're looking around for a church building, I'm sure. And the first building they see is that abandoned one that's right there. I'm sure they're like, what? I said, no, it's the hotel behind the building, okay. You see, and I love showing that to my parents. I love telling people about where we are. It's not about a building. It's not about programs. It's about God's people enabled and filled by his Spirit to send out the good news that the world is literally, physically, emotionally, spiritually dying without. As the Spirit leads. And GCCC, we are at a juncture. We are at a juncture. We have vision. We have direction. May we corporately and individually say, yeah, even though I don't agree, even though I don't understand, I believe God has placed a vision and a calling upon our church. And may we, in trusting obedience that only comes from the Spirit of God in response to what Jesus has done for us, may we go in faith. May we seek to put ourselves out there so that others may know that there be Lydias out there who have never heard the gospel so that they can be recipients and the first to start something in their neighborhoods or in their communities. As I close, as a result of a disappointment that led to a divine appointment, closed doors and detours that failed to derail Paul's resolve to preach the gospel wherever God sent him, a compelling vision from God that was followed by trusting and immediate and humble obedience, a ministry mindset and a paradigm that is done in unlikely places among the marginalized and the overlooked. As a result of that, the gospel started in Europe. And if you know anything about church history, and if you don't, I'm going to give you a 2-second summary. It started in Europe, and from Europe, that's where the modern mission movement emerged. It went to Asia, Africa, South America, and North America. Brothers and sisters, you and I are beneficiaries and descendants of this church that we read about in verse 15 and 16. And it's because there's a lot of disappointments, a lot of closed doors, a lot of weird visions, and ministry model and mindset that goes outside the box. There wasn't even a box, but it went outside and broke all the rules, so to speak. But we were trusting, depending, and following the Holy Spirit, who knows whose heart's already being prepared by Him and where we need to just live out the gospel, share the gospel in word, deed, and action, so that others will be drawn to the Christ of the gospel and find new life in Him. Who are the Lydias in your life who are simply waiting for you to share with them the good news of what Jesus has done for you and for them by His death on the cross? Some of you are saying, I don't know who the Lydias of my life are. Yes, you do. They're the ones who you are praying for, that your heart is burdened for when you listen to their stories at the water cooler, at lunch, at happy hour. They're your Lydias. In the coming weeks, pray, ask, say, Holy Spirit, if it be your will, use me to build a bridge of trust with that brother or sister, that friend, that colleague, that classmate, that roommate, that family member, so I can just listen to their hearts, care for them as a person, and love them from where they are and point them to who you are. Let us pray. God, we thank you that it is not up to us. Thank you, because if that was the case, we'd be in big trouble. But thank you that even despite us, you love to use us, to fill us, to teach us, to humble us, and to point us ultimately back to you. So wherever we are, and if there's anyone in this room who has yet to respond, it's not they haven't heard, they haven't responded in faith and trust in what you've done for them, which we cannot do for ourselves, which is to rescue us, redeem and forgive us totally and completely from our sins, to give us life, hope, and a direction and a future and a meaning and an acceptance that is found nowhere else but in Christ. I pray for that one or two persons today or in the coming days to respond in faith and receive you as Lord, Savior, and leader of their lives. And I pray for our church that we be a church not seeking comfort or complacency or apathy or being apathetic, but we'd be a church that is in tune with your Spirit, filled by your Spirit, led by your Spirit, walking in your Spirit wherever you will lead us, especially in places that have never been tread before. But Lord, we believe and trust that you're going before us and your Spirit is preparing hearts wherever we can be a witness for you to share and live out the gospel and help others to see how it can change and transform their lives. We ask for your Spirit to continue to embolden us, encourage us, comfort us, heal us, and release us for the things of you. In Jesus' name, amen.